Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Brocast. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network, and I am joined on this beautiful, cloudy, somewhat rainy Friday morning by Tracy Pearson. Tracy, how are you?
I went and saw Springsteen last night.
So you're very good.
Yeah, it was fun. He played 3 hours and 15 minutes, man, for a 74-year-old. And then he's like, at the end, he's shadow boxing, showing how much energy he has. So he was fantastic. He's still.
Do you think he's on uppers? Do you think he's taking a ton of uppers going into these things?
Yeah, I don't think he can. I don't think he can do that at 74. I mean, he looks fantastic. He looks fantastic. I mean, there's got to be maybe. I know everyone. I'm a longtime Springsteen fan, so I know this is blasphemous, but maybe there was a little work in there. You know.
Yeah, probably.
Because he looks great. He looks really good.
Well, you know what else makes you look great in your old age? Being ungodly wealthy. Like just absolute cashola.
Yeah. Yeah. And the one thing about it, I mean, let's be, you know, really blatantly, you know, forthright here. Any guy who's 74 years old and is doing this, I mean, yeah, he's doing it because he can't stop, probably because that's who he is. But it's a bit of a money grab, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you got to appreciate other guys who are money grabbing. You know, they've reduced their sets down to an hour and 20 minutes. He's still, the way he said, I'm going to give you still a show. He plays 3 hours and 15 minutes.
That's so, pretty impressive.
It was very impressive. And the Forum, it's such a funky place now. It really is. But, you know, he's got to play there. He doesn't like those big old, he doesn't like crypto and all the sweets and all that stuff, you know. So
no,
but yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
You know what else is really fun, Tracy?
Segway. Coming up with great segues is fun.
Yeah, baby. UCLA basketball recruiting, UCLA transfer portal recruiting is kicking into high gear. It's a brave new world where UCLA actually has some resources. They have resources. And so there have been two big public news items this week. Sky Clark, the Louisville transfer guard, has actually let me redo that. The Louisville transfer guard, Sky Clark, committed on Wednesday. And then USC wing Kobe Johnson committed publicly yesterday. Both those two guys are now in. There are other irons in the fire at varying stages of, what would you say, melting, being pulled out, being used for various metalwork. But in any event, a pretty hot start to the portal. I know there was a week of a lull that made people kind of crazy because that's what people on our message board do. But now, 2 weeks into the portal, UCLA is starting to get after it.
Yeah, there's. I think we need a pause and appreciate a few things here. I understand for a very long time, UCLA fans were complaining about UCLA fans and their NIL support, right? Overall, not complaining. A lot of the fans on the Bro Board are saying, where are the whales? And then I hear from, I'm air quoting.
There was also a head basketball coach who had a complaint in an interview.
Yes. Yeah, these are all the complaints. You've got the fans complaining the whales aren't doing their job. Then you got the head basketball coach doing what he did. But then you have the whales who say, hey, screw it. They read the board and they're all, screw all those fans. Why am I saving the program again? So everyone just talking, oh, UCLA's too cheap. We'll never have enough NIL money. Just so you know, all of this fun that's going on right now. And guys, this is really fun. This is fun. This is why we have Bro. This is, you know, it started out as a recruiting site, but we do such a great job of covering the teams, of team coverage. Yes. So it's become so much more. But
you get so much more value for your dollar here.
You get so much more value.
So much more value for your dollar here at Bro. BruinReportOnline.com.
So, but we are about recruiting, and this is recruiting at its best. This is UCLA recruiting at a high level. This is just great reporting. You guys are getting some inside information, and get your mind around the fact that UCLA's got some money.
UCLA is a big boy. UCLA is a big boy.
And let's give a little credit to our guy, Ken Gray. We're over there at Men of Westwood. Volunteer. Oh, my God. I mean, that guy is putting in hours.
Years off his life.
Saying he's doing God's work does not even capture what that guy is doing. Okay. So the John Wooden statue,
Ken Graver statue right next to it,
like
a smaller one.
Smaller one. I can't think about what pose Ken should be in.
Tasteful,
tasteful, very tasteful. Yeah,
I think it should be him with his head in his hands like this.
But also credit, obviously, to McCronin. He's been so supportive and has done what he can to generate NIL donorship.
And credit to you, the listener. Not insignificant that whatever it was 2 weeks ago when there was that matching campaign, you out there contributed $100,000 to NIL, which, look, we talked before about Tracy said whales who might get a little cheesed off that people are constantly begging them for money. When you provide signs that you're invested, that excites people with maybe a little bit more in their pocket to get involved. And I think that's a part of what has happened in recent weeks.
That's a great point. The UCLA basketball NIL had a huge windfall in the last two weeks. A lot, I'd say, Bros generating its NIL money for basketball created the atmosphere that really contributed to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, guys, y'all are doing it. And doing a little research, Dave and I have, and calling some people and talking. I mean, we probably shouldn't put this out there, but UCLA is, I think it's probably top five for NIL now, would you say?
It's comfortably among the elites in NIL resources. It should not be. Look, does that mean they can go out and buy every single player on the market? No.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what Duke's probably number one, and they maybe literally can sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But UCLA is going to be extremely competitive in the recruitments of guys it wants this cycle and going forward.
And what was the record this year?
16-17.
And now some of that was, hey, UCLA program, which should be elite, fell. I'm going to help it. There was actually that sentiment. But imagine if UCLA now went to a Final Four, where the NIL would go.
Yeah.
Elite Eight. So this is, y'all should be really, this is a moment when you, as a fan, what, 95% of your experience as a fan is disappointment.
Yes.
Because your teams always lose. I mean, only one team wins a national championship. You're always kind of disappointed in various phases of being a fan. You should really savor this moment right now and enjoy this offseason transfer recruiting, because this is fun.
So fun. All right, let's get into some of the specifics now, Tracy.
Okay.
All right, so on Wednesday, Sky Clark committed. We're going to have a commitment analysis later today on Clark. He was ranked as a point guard out of high school, ranked as a point guard in the transfer portal. It's going to be really interesting to see how he fits in here. We've talked about it a little bit before, but now that he's actually committed, we can kind of get into it a little bit more extensively. We talked before, and you know, whether or not he might start, I'm kind of leaning towards he's going to now, but he brings another guy with some ball handling, another scorer, and somebody who I think we both think, after watching him a little bit, underrated as a passer, considering he's kind of matched his assisted turnover ratio is even, which isn't good, but he can make some passes.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's a lead guard. He was out of high school. I watched him a number of times in high school. He's a good passer. That's another thing. That's a great dimension that this team needed more of. But I don't see him displacing Dylan Andrews as the starting point guard, playing with Dylan Andrews, playing off and providing point guard minutes when Dylan Andrews needs a break, I think is going to be his role. I think he has a really good chance to start. I still, you know, I've been saying that they look really good for Dominic Harris, the transfer guard wing from Loyola Marymount. I've watched a lot of Dominic Harris. I just think he's going to start. He's 6'3", 6'4". He's a man. He's 23 years old. He shoots 45% from three. He can defend.
Yeah.
He gives you more of it. He can defend up to like six guys who were 6'5", something Sky Clark probably can't. I don't know, but that's the, again, here's our theme. It's fun to think about. It gives them a lot. It gives them a lot of dimension and a lot of options.
Yeah. And I'm just picturing a guy like Sky Clark who has, I would say, received no coaching last year at Louisville. Clearly wasn't a fit at Illinois in his freshman year, left, I think, midway through the season. If it's, you know, accurate that he's ready to, you know, kind of reset things, get back on the horse, put together a basketball career again, what I look at from his statistical profile is this is the baseline. And baseline, a 35% shooter from three with not a lot of coaching. Improved shot selection, even assist to turnovers with not a lot of coaching. Well, you know what's not going to play with Michael Walter Cronin turning it over as much as you're assisting. That's not going to work. Yeah. So it's going to be, I mean, how he responds to Cronin's coaching, I think, will dictate kind of the thing we're discussing here, which is whether or not he's going to start and play 30 minutes a game. So but it's going to be really interesting.
Interesting and fun.
Yeah.
And then they also got a commitment from Kobe Johnson. Stole him from USC. 6'6" wing. I wouldn't say a down year at USC. It wasn't as productive as his year before when they actually had a good team and they weren't so dysfunctional. But that good year, he shot 35% from three. He's a double-figure scorer. 5 or 6 rebounds a game. But an elite defender. Yes. So that's huge in so many ways. We saw UCLA lacked a good wing defender this year, and there were many times when they went up against an opposing team and they didn't have anyone really to put on that elite wing. That will be now locked in. It also, and this is where it's going, like I wrote in a little post today, you know, UCLA, of course, is not done. And just so you know, I was collecting all of that information for that update last night while Springsteen was on stage. So I'm doing work there, Dave. They have so many more guys that they're still involved with. I mean, we're beyond just Kobe Johnson, but what Kobe Johnson's key and maybe the guys they're going to get to improve the athleticism of this team, makes a huge difference in so many ways, just being able to match up defensively, athletically with opposing teams, but also getting these guys out and maybe getting them running, picking up the tempo a little, scoring maybe a little bit more in transition, maybe, you know, with Mick Cronin, you know, controlled transition scoring. You got some shooters who are going to be able to spot up in transition. So Kobe Johnson is key to that with his defense, his steals, his deflections, yep, and being able to get UCLA out and get some transition scoring. So I really like the elements that all of these guys are bringing, just the two guys that they already have committed. And then we'll talk about the guys that they're really going after too. But I know you want to talk about Kobe.
Well, I love Kobe. I think he's, you got to kind of throw last year out, because that team for USC was extremely dysfunctional. And we talked about it, actually. I mean, pressure analysis, we talked about it last offseason, where it's too many cooks, a lot of issues with kind of analyzing that team going into last year. Kobe Johnson, I think, was the recipient of both too much emphasis on his role offensively, because he shot, I think, four more shots per game last year in only three more minutes. I think because of his size and the fact that they had Boogie Ellis and Isaiah Collier and Bronny James, all kind of that same sort of size. They're all like 6'2"-ish, 6'3"-ish. They were counting on him to do a lot offensively. I think he kind of wore down under the pressure to do all of that. I think at UCLA, in a role that's been clearly defined over the years of being a very switchable wing defender who can knock down some shots, who can, you know, when in isolation, break a guy down and get to the rim, I think he could really, really thrive. And he's also, in the same way that Lazar Stefanovic suddenly looked like a much better rebounder in his one year, in his first year at UCLA compared to his last year at Utah, Kobe Johnson, his rebounding numbers from 2 years ago are much better than his rebounding numbers from last year. I think they're going to commit him to the glass, and he is a talented rebounder when he is committed to being on the glass. So I think you're going to see his numbers, maybe not the raw totals, but you're going to see his rate numbers increase significantly next year. Again, it's all about the buy-in. It's all about adjusting to Mick Cronin's coaching, which we've talked about at length. Don't need to get into it again. But if he gets there, I think you'll see all of his rate numbers increase. But we've got more to talk about, because
well just really simply too, I just want to set the stage. Both were on their official visits together, from Tuesday to Wednesday. It's now a dead period Thursday, so no official visits, no contact in person until the 11th. But kind of fun that they were on campus together taking their official visits. And I mean, I had heard that I thought Kobe Johnson was going to pop first, and then Sky Clark did. So it was obviously there was a whole great element with their families and them, a good feeling. So that's a really positive element there too, that they both were on their official visits and verbally committed.
Right. And then in addition to that, we've talked at length kind of about the needs this cycle. And I think we both agreed going into the cycle, one of the huge needs was a four. Which has
well. First, let's just stay in the backcourt. Just finish off Dominic Harris too,
who's not publicly committed, but
he's not publicly committed. But it's looking really, really good. I mean, I think there's some details that still have to be finalized, but looks very good. 6'3" to 6'4", good athlete, great shooter. Like I've described him, a better, more athletic David Singleton is what you can call him. Older, 23 years old, physically tough, mentally tough. Good on ball defender. Don't be fooled by, you know, 24/7 does an excellent job. They're on top of so much stuff. Their ratings of him as a transfer, I think, might be changing, but it's a little off right now. He's a top, in my opinion, he's a top 40 transfer in the portal. He had some big time offers. He's choosing to stay in Southern California and go to UCLA. He brings a great, we're talking about like the dimension and options that are, he brings so much too. So, yeah. Wow. The three of those guys to add to this backcourt. And well, we can talk about who they might keep, but let's keep going on. Let's keep going on transfers.
Well, and Tracy said backcourt. I think you've also got the ability to play small with a guy like Kobe, because he does have some ability to play up too as an athlete, and with this kind of strong physical build. So you've got, you get some versatility with this addition as well. And when you think about, and we'll get into it a little bit later, but when you think about what kind of what they're replacing, it's improved shooting pretty much from every single one of those spots. Now, Kobe Johnson, if he starts, he would be starting likely over Lazar Stefanovic. So that's not necessarily improved shooting, but it's not that much worse. Sky Clark would be a big improvement over Sebastian Mack from a shooting perspective. Dominic Harris would obviously be a huge improvement over Sebastian Mack from a
shooting number perspective. Three-point shooter in the country.
You're adding both athleticism and shooting, which is kind of the, you know, that's,
and maturity, that's, maturity, experience.
Yeah, all the question, and this is the thing we've talked about at length, it's all about how do they adjust to Mick Cronin? How do they adjust to being at UCLA? How do they adjust to a new system? And that's, when you're doing it with transfers, in theory, that should be easier than doing it with freshmen. But that is the question. And that's the question that you should kind of just have in the back of your mind. Lots of excitement in the front of your mind. Question in the back of your mind. How's this all going to work in November? How's it all going to work in December? By January, should be damn good. But how's it going to work at the beginning?
And just so you know, right now, with the two commitments of Sky Clark and Kobe Johnson, UCLA's transfer class is number one on 24/7 sports.
Yeah, baby.
Over Kansas right now.
And it's not done. All right. And it's let's not get done. Into let's get into front court stuff.
Let's get into what's not done.
Do we want to start with the potentially not so great, or do we want to start with the four?
Yeah, let's start with the not so great.
Okay. So at the five, UCLA may indeed end up having to be in the market for a transfer five.
This is true. Latest I've heard is that Dembona is probably leaning towards the NBA draft. We've been, you know, UCLA has been very much preparing for it. I think there was an expectation that he would return, though, because it makes so much sense, and there's no slighting Dembona. We all love the kid. But damn, if he's projected to be a second round pick, maybe a two-way contract. Last year, that was $550,000 a year. UCLA NIL, I can safely say he would make a lot more than that. Back in the day, we always used to talk about guys who opted to go pro. That didn't make a lot of sense. They should have come back another year. But now with the NIL factor, it absolutely makes no sense. But I don't want everyone to jump all over Adem. He's doing it for maybe some personal reasons. But it's also just the mindset. When you're that five-star guy, there's always, it's been drilled into you by everyone around you, everything you've ever heard, that you are one and done. And the only reason he wasn't, I think he believes, was because of his shoulder injury. So right now, it leaning towards him leaving. I've done the story on the guys that would that UCLA has been recruiting and would target. Luckily there are a lot of talented post players in the portal. And I dropped a little nugget too, that there might be another guy that they could go after pretty aggressively if Bona does go into the draft. So that'll be interesting, because do you want athleticism out of that? I mean, of course, there's the ideal. You want scoring and athleticism, but guys who are big-time scorers and big-time athletes, those guys are in the NBA. So
yeah,
there are trade-offs. So do you want a big-time scorer, or do you want a big-time athlete? Interesting when you start thinking about how the roster dynamics might shake out, and we're not done. A lot of what might happen at the five might depend on what happens at the four.
Dictated.
Or or just the fact that you've got a lot of scoring now. You add in Harris to Clark and Johnson, there's some scorers. Do you really need a scorer? Or do you need an athlete? So a lot of fun talking about this. The three prime candidates are Stanford transfer Brandon Angell, Oregon State's Tyler Bilodeau, and then Oklahoma State's Eric Daly. We've seen Angell and Bilodeau enough. We know exactly who they are. Bilodeau's 6'9", talented scorer, can shoot pretty well from the outside, really good in the post. A decent rebounder, I'd say. Not a great, great athlete, but all of 6'9 and 225. Brandon Angell, probably a little shorter at 6'8", but a little bit wider. An excellent three-point shooter, 45% from three. Good in the post. Probably an average to okay, little better than average athlete. Eric Daly, if you've watched him at all, big time athlete, gets up and down the court, runs, jumps, quick off the floor. Put up decent numbers as a freshman at Oklahoma State. You've got to be pretty impressed. In 22 minutes, 9.3 points, just about 5 rebounds, 1.5 assists. That's pretty good for 22 minutes from a 4.
A positive assist to turnover ratio as a 4 freshman.
Yeah.
Who's known for his athleticism more than anything.
Athleticism, his motor, his athleticism. So those are three fun options to think about, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I think you touched on a really good point, which is how you recruit the 5 kind of depends a little bit on what you get at the 4, because I think they need a front court scoring option, but it doesn't really matter whether it comes at the 4 or the 5. If they get, because look at as far back as one season ago, UCLA's primary scoring option was a wing 4, Jaime Jaquez, and Adembona was a cleanup guy. You can have another cleanup guy at the 5 as long as you have a 3-4 who can get his. And I think looking at the options, Tyler Bilodeau fits that bill. If you watched Oregon State enough this year, or even just watched them against UCLA, when he was in the game, they were running clear outs for him. But they were, oh, here, Tyler, just go to work. Here, we're going to kick it into you, and you take this dude. He abused Will McClendon one time, very sadly. But there's a little bit of that. He's not obviously a wing 4. He's a true 4. But you can get enough from him that the 5 can be a little bit more of your athleticism, energy, shot blocking, rebounding, clean up with some, you know, dunks type deal. But those 4s, I mean, it'd be great. You could land Bilodeau. Daly gives you that huge athleticism piece. The thing I like about Daly more than anything about him as a player, well, not more than, but in addition to everything about him as a player, he still has 3 years left. He was a true freshman this past year at Oklahoma State. So you land him. Look, I don't think he's an NBA player after this year. I think you're getting at least 2 years out of him. And he's a big time athlete. I think he can be taught to be, he's not a rim defender at all right at this point, but with his size and athleticism, you could teach him to provide a little bit more rim protection. But I really like him, and I think there's versatility. There's ways they can go. If you're landing a 4 like Bilodeau, you could also be a little bit more like, do we need a true 5, or can we run small ball stuff? Do we need a true 5 who's going to start? There's a lot of different ways you can go with how you operate with your front court if you land a kind of scoring option like Bilodeau.
You know, it's interesting too, though, because all we're doing is thinking about how these, well, that's not all we're doing, but a lot of what we're basing a lot of this on the player that we see from this last season.
Yeah.
And their stats. Someone like Eric Daly as a freshman averaged 9.3 points a game. And This is at a power 6 program here.
And he doesn't foul a lot as a freshman. I mean, there's a lot to like there.
Yeah. 9.3. You project that out just a little his talent, he gets a little bit more skilled, a little bit. I mean, Dembona went from, what was he, 7.7 to 12.4 sophomore year. I think it's reasonable. A guy scoring 9.3 points a game in 22 minutes will get to 12 to 13 points a game next year. Here's the other thing, too, which is, I mean, just kind of fun. He shot 33% from three, which isn't great, but ain't bad for a true freshman four. And he took 57 of them, which isn't, you know, like 20. It's not high volume, but he took some threes. If you watch him, he kind of, not that he is at O'Bannon, but he feels like he's a left. He feels like at O'Bannon a little. If you watch him, you watch tape on him, Dave.
Yes. I love him. I feel special things about him. And when you get into conference, like, it is, everything improved in conference play too. And if you're familiar with the Big 12 conference, that's impressive. Like he was turning it over less. He was shooting the ball better. He was rebounding the ball a little bit better on the offensive side, at least.
Give me like all the stats, conference. I don't have them in front of me.
Well, I'm looking at rate stats. So I'm okay. It's kind of meaningless to a lot of people. But his effective field goal percentage was 3 points higher in conference versus just overall. His offensive rebounding numbers were truly elite in conference. And they were very good otherwise. I mean, he had one of the lowest turnover rates in the conference. He was 20th in turnover rate in the conference during conference play. That's insane for a true freshman, you know, kind of big wing who, again, main asset, like the main thing you hear about Eric Daly, really good athlete. I think underrated a little bit in terms of his skills and ability. This would be a gem, I think, to kind of, you know, land this guy, because also I don't like feel like he's being talked about enough as one of the top candidates on the market. So I think it'd be a really good get to land him. I would love it if you could pair somebody like him with, you know, one of these more offensive minded fours too. Like, I think there's a lot of different ways you can go with an athlete like that.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
So, yeah, that's pretty fun to think about all this.
Now, let's talk about the guys leaving, because we got to talk about this. And I also have to, like, say, I'm talking about all these transfers and I'm getting excited about them. But, like, I'm not trying to be inconsistent with what I said 3 weeks ago. Bringing in a ton of new guys, I think, comes with some potential danger. It comes with, you don't know how this is all going to work. You don't know how it's all going to coalesce. You don't want, like, running into the same situation as last year, where it's, you know, six or seven newcomers, is that comes with risk, that comes with danger. Now, we're talking about all these guys. It's a lot more talent. Like, it's a lot more talent. UCLA has had a couple of guys enter the transfer portal this week. One we'd kind of talked about before as a very likely departure, Ilan Fabloy, who entered the portal early this week. You know, we mentioned that before, and I think it was obvious to anyone watching this season that his minutes grew smaller and smaller as the season went on. Clearly never really got a hang of things. So he entered the portal. And then yesterday, Will McClendon, who obviously a lot of speculation that he would enter as well. We had heard that he was maybe a little bit lower on the likelihood, but certainly still a major possibility that he would leave. He elected to enter the portal. And so that's two guys gone from this past year's team. We're talking still a lot about a lot of names, and obviously there's going to have to be likely additional attrition here to just fill out the roster with what UCLA needs to have a good team next year. But yeah, two departures from this last year's team.
Yes. So if they add, let's just say they add a power forward, right? Someone's got to leave, correct?
Yeah. So right now with Sky Clark and Kobe Johnson committed, I think they still technically have one open. Am I doing this right? Because they've lost, so they still technically have.
People are relying on us for
this. Dude, it's so hard. Freeney comes in, Nuba leaves, so they still have one open. Elon and Will out, Sky Clark and Kobe Johnson in, still have one open. Okay, so they still have one open technically, but
Dominic,
if you're reading between the lines, or even just actually the text with us, you know, kind of poo-pooing around it, they're going to need at least one more. And maybe more. So it's going to be, there's going to be something else shaken out here pretty quickly. Is just the reality of the situation.
Yeah. I mean, let's just kind of hard pencil in Dominic Harris. So they're full.
Let's make it the blackest of black pencil. Like you're really pushing down on it, almost breaking the tip.
So they want a wing forward, a power forward. So one more guy will probably leave. I've been saying it lately for at least a few weeks. I think Berke Büyüktunçlu will be the candidate most likely. There's, you know, it could be Jan Vide, it could be Sebastian Mack, but that's who my money is on right now.
Yeah, and there's also, I mean, I think you know, McClendon to some extent made a proactive decision. There's always the chance that guys make proactive choices too, just looking at who UCLA is recruiting and yada yada yada. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. Obviously, and I think this is the main takeaway, UCLA is significantly upgrading its talent. There's going to be improved shooting, there's going to be improved athleticism, there's going to be improved experience. And then it's just a matter of, I mean, it's going to be, you know, kind of a lot's going to be on Mick Cronin to turn this into a very, very good team, because there's going to be a ton of talent.
Yeah, that's funny. I was going to end on that, but I just wanted to, I want to throw out just me speculating too. There's a possibility that they could get two of those three power four, like Daly, who's the athlete, and then maybe Bilodeau or Angel. Combination there, I'm just completely speculating, but knowing the environment, that could be a possibility. Yeah. But what you just said, Mick Cronin's going to have the talent. It's yes. going to there. I mean, while he was responsible for not having the talent on the court this year, he will have the talent. So it's going to be up to him to put this team together into some kind of winning result. I of course believe that he will. I think he's a very, very good coach. I think that the thing to get over is always playing for Mick Cronin, how each individual guy can do that. Like Adai Mara came in, smiley kid, got along with, you know, it just rolled off his back.
Yeah.
You know, I can say someone like Miles Johnson probably hit a big wall when he transferred in. So, you know, you never know how these guys are going to react. I know UCLA is trying to really get deep into the kid's character, the any kind of transfers character, to see if he will be capable of playing for Cronin. I think that's the biggest thing. The talent will be there and the coaching is there. So that would be that, Dave.
Yeah. So fun times.
Fun times.
Stay tuned to Bruin Report Online for all the latest on basketball recruiting as the transfer portal continues. Now we have to talk about darling, delightful UCLA football. UCLA football started spring football this week. They've had two practices. And when I say darling and delightful UCLA football, I friggin' mean it. Because we got to talk to Deshaun Foster on Tuesday, Eric Bieniemy on Thursday. And you know what both of those guys have in common, Tracy?
Oh, my God. They're just really fun on in interviews and interesting and engaging and personable and friendly.
I was going for a different thing, but you said the same thing, basically. They're not Chip Kelly.
I was trying to be nice.
Yeah. Talking to Deshaun Foster, we asked him a bunch of injury-related questions, and people said on the board, oh, Chip was sometimes forthcoming in spring. Yes, he was, sometimes. But no BS, no like, oh, I'm not going to – like. And when we asked A. Quentin Somerville and Isaiah Newcomb, are they still in the program? No, they're not in the program.
They're anymore. Not available.
It was – they're not in the program anymore. It was hey, yeah, this guy might be back by the end of this week. We'll see. Oh, yeah, he's got a back. Just real matter of fact, no pussyfooting around. It was,
you know, the thing I got, the thing about Chip too. I mean, we talked a lot, but when you asked him about someone, he would scan the field a little.
Yeah.
Like, I have no information that I'm not giving you. Let's see if he's out here. It's just
oh, we gotta listen to the medical staff as if we can interview the medical staff. We can't.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Okay, but not to say seriously, straight. Deshaun Foster's interviews have been fantastic.
He's been great.
But the best coaching interview that we've had in years was Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy was a lot of fun.
That was not only you were not only engaged because of his personality and just his presence. But the substance of what he was saying.
Yeah.
I mean.
Giving details on what he intends for his offense. And
damn.
Like, damn. No, we want to have a fullback. Here's why. Here's all the things about a fullback that we like. Look, I don't know. I don't know if a fullback is a good idea or a bad idea. Doesn't matter. I just like an articulated philosophy from the head coach that I can actually understand and parse. And that then I can, share with all of you. We watch him practice. Anthony Adkins playing some fullback. We then ask the coach about it, and instead of getting, oh, we do a lot of different things. It's oh yeah, no, I think a fullback is super important. Here's why. I think even at the NFL level, you know, guys are using fullbacks in different ways. They're rediscovering that position, and I think it's a huge component for. Okay, beautiful. I love that you have a defined philosophy on this. That's great. Chip never even articulated why he liked tight ends so much, like ever. And we asked him, just never. It was just like, well, big people beat up little people. Okay, thanks. That's not helpful.
It also could be Eric Bieniemy comes in, right? He looks at this roster and he goes
of six three, 245-pound running backs.
I got Anthony Adkins, who's 245. I got Isaiah Carlson is probably 225. I got another guy coming in who's Cameron Jones, 215. Were you recruiting fullbacks? Okay, let's make a fullback position. Remember, Chip did make fullback positions. It was
Carson it was Ryan Carson and Jack Ryan Peterson. And
Jack Peterson. Then he gave fullback numbers and
poor Jack Peterson is still sitting there with number 28.
Oh, God. So many games and just Bieniemy. Oh, I wanted to kiss him.
Yeah.
You watch out, Coach Eric.
Anyway,
next time I see you, I'm kissing you.
So here's what I'll say about practice so far. It's we don't actually, we aren't getting as, how would I put this? There was more to write about with Chip's practices because the pace was a lot faster. You were seeing more plays per minute than you're seeing so far with Deshaun Foster.
You know what though? He didn't do as many team while the team like these team periods are slower. He didn't do as many.
No, so. but it is like I was timing it yesterday. There were 16 total plays in a 12-minute team period, which is That's pretty slow. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Doing that for the first week, especially when you're doing install, is, I think, normal and fine. But we are seeing more team periods. So that's interesting because we're seeing more 11 on 11 than we've probably ever seen in UCLA practice, even more than the kind of the Jim Mora era. But it does make it so that, like, there's a heavy focus on, like, each rep because you're watching that thing for, you know, and then it's another 30 or 40 seconds before there's another rep. You know, general takeaways from the team right now. I mean, honestly, not to like dump the wind out of people's sails, not a ton of talent. I would say looking at that defense, linebacker, defensive tackle, pretty good. Rest of that defense, I just don't know.
Really unproven.
Really, right? Really unproven.
Yeah.
Edge is going to, I mean, that's going to be a real, real critical point. And you know, right now, starting yesterday, first string yesterday was Jacob Busich, the Navy transfer, and Devin Ayupiu, who was defensive tackle last year. They were the first string. Shea Bryant-Struther wasn't participating that I saw. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out. And then the offensive line on the offensive side is, yeah, and we've talked about this before, but again, continuing, like that's going to be the critical piece. If they can get that right, the offense can be pretty good. If they can't get that right with the talent they have, then the offense is going to struggle.
Yeah, the biggest worry, seriously, is, I mean, we can talk about how Danton Lynn had such an effect, but I thought it during the season, the difference with that defense was just the pressure you got from your edges.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was. When you do that, your defense looks pretty good. You're going to have where is Leiatu projected now? Top 15?
It varied. So right after all the like combine stuff, he actually went down, which I think must be medical. But he was like mocking in the 20s.
Okay.
I don't know.
You had the twins, the Murphy twins. You had some of the combined best pass rushing and who am I forgetting? Carl Jones, who played excellent. At edge that UCLA has probably ever had. And that's what made that defense to me. You don't now. So I think they can fake it with the offensive line. You can kind of scheme around that. Let's throw the ball fast. Let's move the launch point. It's hard to scheme around we've seen UCLA try to scheme around not having a pass rush on defense. It doesn't work. That's the biggest challenge. Where are they going to get a pass rush from? That's my takeaway so far.
Yeah.
And that's what we thought going in too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. And the other takeaway is Eric Bieniemy, is going to be very funny to listen to during practice.
Yes. Yes.
He lights into guys at a level. The only person it's even remotely reminiscent of in recent times is the man himself, Jimothy Mora. That is the only person who I've heard.
You think you're an All-American?
Yeah, just and just like inventive ways of just getting after guys. It was fun, and it was.
I think Bieniemy so far, Bieniemy is better. It's a little wittier. It's funnier. And where Mora went downhill, he just would not give it up. He'd say,
no,
ride a guy, and then they go on to the next drill. And then 5 minutes later, he'd be back riding the guy. And then 5 minutes later, he's still riding.
It's Bieniemy, almost like he had an issue managing his emotions and managing his anger.
Yeah. Bieniemy's in, saying something funny and pretty sharp. And then he doesn't ride that guy. If he says something, it's something different. So yeah.
Well, and there's a lot more so far. There's a lot more collective criticism. Like he'll tell an entire unit. He's done this a few times now to get off the field because they don't know the snap count or don't know something. Which I always like. I like team criticism versus getting too hard after an individual. It breeds camaraderie.
I would say, and Ken Graver, you need, and Ken's again doing amazing work. They need to come up with some big time NIL money to just get one effective pass rushing edge out of that portal.
Can I get drop some breaking news that's basketball related?
Of course.
USC center Vincent Iwuchukwu has entered the transfer portal.
Huh. Interesting.
Interesting. Interesting. 7-1 athlete who's got his best basketball in front of him.
Yeah. I mean, this will be another, if UCLA, I can just tell you that the determination of whether UCLA will go after him. Well, a couple of things, but first off, is he tough? I mean, that's it. Is he tough? Is he physically tough? And there are post players who avoid contact. Kwame Evans at Oregon, he will go out of his way to avoid touching someone. if Adembona leaves, whoever Mick Cronin ends up with, it's going to be a guy who physically is just tough, bumping people, you know, just running into people, just, you know, the Alfred Aboya element of it all. So, you know, I didn't concentrate on Iwuchukwu enough. I'd have to watch, but it'll be interesting. His stats aren't all that great. He's also had some health issues, right?
Yeah. Totes. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's a potential pro.
A potential pro, Tracy.
Yeah. 5.5 points.
Tracy rebound. Thinks Vincent Iwuchukwu is a pro.
in 16 minutes. So.
Yeah, no, his rebounding numbers per minute, his rate rebounding numbers are very good. Yeah. And potentially advanced shot blocker. Again, his numbers, if you look at him from his freshman year to his sophomore year, his numbers were not as good from a rate standpoint, which is very similar to Kobe Johnson. This team this past year was broken in some fundamental ways.
Yeah.
But anyway, somebody worth kicking the tires on. And back to football. I agree with you. Somehow getting an edge rusher in the portal after spring who can really, really play, that would change a lot for me. And, I mean, just get me one edge rusher and one starting caliber offensive lineman, and I really don't care what kind of offensive lineman, just one starting caliber one, you can start to talk me into this team as a bowl team. But otherwise, I think it's going to be a work in progress first season.
Yeah. I'm all about that edge rusher.
Yeah.
I think the offensive line will be a little bit better. They weren't great, but I think they can be passable with a little bit of improvement.
I think Juan Castillo will be good. I think he'll be a good coach.
But there aren't the players at pass rush.
Just not a ton of nobody's popping to me the way Leatu Latu popped, the way the Murphy twins popped, you know, the way they would just dominate a practice. And yes, it's two practices in, all caveats, please, like, just understand we're talking after two practices, but the talent level has taken a pretty big hit from last season.
So we do. I mean, this is not being facetious. I mean, I'm not expecting that much, but there is Luke Sherman from Johns Hopkins who is not in yet. Remember?
Yes.
He will be an edge. He's just incredible. Maybe he goes beyond all of our expectations.
Maybe he is. The Ivy League has produced some talents before, and he's not in the Ivy League, but it's close enough.
There you go. You saved that really fast. It should be, damn it.
It should be, damn it. It should be just John Hopkins. Where's the Johns?
One of the most interesting things to watch at practice, if you're going to come out,
is that they added an S to John.
Yes. No, it is watching Brian Addison at safety.
It's so weird. I can't get over just how weird it is to watch a guy that tall try to play safety And like, he looks good. Like, he moves around.
He moves really well. I mean, we haven't seen him necessarily make some plays, but it's not like he's, you know, storkish moving around. He's very, very fluid. It's just wild. He's a good 6'5".
Yeah.
Maybe more.
He's very tall. Very tall.
Yeah. We also didn't talk about a couple of guys left. Isaiah Newcomb.
And Quentin Somerville. We did talk about them. We mentioned them up top.
Oh, we did? Okay.
It's okay.
It was so long ago.
It was when we were talking about Deshaun Foster's interview. But yeah, they're out. Siali Tupaki took...
Colin Schley.
And Colin Schley. He departed yesterday, but probably has been departed for a little while because he wasn't at practice either Tuesday or Thursday.
We should talk about this. The quarterback position now is a little scary.
It's light on experience.
Justin Martin and Luke Duncan have, in the practice I watched, looked promising. You'd have Duke to Lunkin? Say.
Duke Lunkin. Call him by his given name?
You can do that if you want. But we never really watched him last year, ever. He was hurt for spring.
No, he's looked fine.
You know, we saw him take snaps during the season. Yeah. That was about it. A little bit, you know, he can throw. He's actually got an arm. He made some throws down the field. And Justin Martin's
making steady progress. It's three straight springs now where first spring from the beginning to the end, he was better. Last spring, he was better than that. And this spring looks obviously better than that.
And Chase Griffin, that red shirt sophomore who's got 5 more years of eligibility.
Okay.
You gotta love our guy, Chase. How he can be here.
Is he done after this year? I gotta get to the bottom. He's a
senior right now. Yeah. This is it.
All right. He came in 2019, January 2019.
Yeah. That's why he came in spring. That's why it also feels like a long time. He's on his like eighth degree.
But he has game experience, and Ethan Garber's has game experience. Justin Martin's taken like 3 snaps last year. It's not an experienced roster, and then they're bringing in 2 true freshmen in the fall.
That we don't expect to be able to step in. And
yeah, Carson Gordon and Henry Hasselbeck. So
it'll be interesting to see. That'd be something to watch for transfer portal to see with the loss of Colin Schley.
Get an experienced body who can come in.
A Colin Schley type guy. I mean, Colin Schley would have. That's a bit of a loss. I mean, it gave them a complete change up type of package to put in. That was really when he wasn't well, even when he was hurt because he was such a gamer. How often did Colin Schley fail last year? He was pretty. He broke off some runs, man. I mean,
no, that dude, and he wanted it bad.
I like Colin Schley.
I like the way he runs the ball.
I did not like the way he threw the ball. Everyone in the entire arena, at least the other team, knew he was not going to throw, and they still couldn't stop him.
Well, and Osgood broke it down one time, but like he wasn't even making the right reads running the ball.
Yeah,
our friend. He wasn't even making the right reads running the ball, but he was just powering through dudes, just breaking tackles,
and the explosiveness too.
Yeah.
And then he shatters his sternum and he's supposed to be out and he comes back a week later.
Yeah. Very tough kid. Wish him the best. But I thought they should have been like starting him at one point because it's like, oh yeah, just have him out there running the option. Who cares?
Has anyone has Oregon started their spring?
I don't know.
I'm curious as to how Dante Moore's doing.
Oh, that'd be something.
Yeah. Yeah, you were so skeptical. I see. We can see each other on this. He looked at me like, I don't care.
I don't give a shit. What are you talking about?
Didn't even get the angle.
Okay. No, I'm not listening for angles, Tracy.
Overall, though, guys, seriously, this is an exciting time for UCLA sports, given basketball. We've got a whole new season of recruiting. And I got to tell you, having covered recruiting for a long time, transfer recruiting when you got a lot of NIL money is number one. It is the most fun, easy. Then it's don't stupid. Forget, UCLA is going to go into recruiting high school. Remember that when they recruit high school, but they're going to be, they'll still be loaded with NIL. So that's going to change that do. So a lot to look forward to. I think they're going to have a lot of talent next year. I think the basketball team's going to be good. And Dave and I just looked over the Big Ten for next year basketball.
Trash.
Trash. Oh, there's a lot of hits there, man. Yeah. The teams that are good won't be good, and the teams that weren't good probably still won't be very good. So, yeah opportunity. And then basketball, I mean, football, I think it's exciting what Deshaun Foster is doing with the program. Of course, they have to produce and win. But dang, we haven't even talked about it, and we'll talk generally about it right here. The recruiting. There are so many recruiting stories on Bro. You can't keep it straight. We're gonna try to sort through this for you guys and like do a roundup every week so you can keep track. Because before there was one story every 3 weeks. Now we're getting 8 stories a day.
Yeah, no, we were just talking about it. Like it's there are so many offers going out. And is it as many as some of the big time recruiting programs? No, absolutely not. But it is like, I don't know. I'm just going to throw out a number, at least 3 times what Chip Kelly was doing at this point.
I like this pace. I'm comfortable with this pace.
This is a good pace. And you keep some of the like, hey, we're not one of those programs that offers literally everybody, but you're getting in on guys that you want early, and you're painting with a broad enough brush that you're keeping guys warm who you may or may not want later on. But like there's reasons to do it this way. And I'm so glad that they're smart enough to realize that.
Oh God. It is amazing when the bar was lowered so much.
Oh my God.
Just when it's just what it should be.
Yeah. No. And I keep
explaining. And we're raving about it.
Well, people keep asking me, you sound more optimistic about Deshaun Foster now. What's going on? And I'm like, well, and I'm trying to say it without sounding like I'm backhanded complimenting, because it's not that, but like they're brushing their teeth. They're combing their hair. They're like doing the like guts of running a successful program that like is the minimum standard, but it's been so long since they've been doing it that it's like, well, they couldn't, it's not like they would be doing anything more or different at this point. They're doing their job, but like, it sounds like a backhanded compliment, but it's not. Because we just experienced 6 years of a guy not doing his job. And so the fact that Deshaun Foster is out there doing the job that he has been hired for, is fantastic to see. And it's especially fantastic to see, seeing as he comes from that Chip Kelly program. Like, he spent 6 years in it, and he's doing things differently. And that is absolutely lovely to see.
Yeah. And they're having some... they're having some big time guys visit the program too.
Yes.
Which is really fun. The one linebacker this week.
Shit. Yeah. I got, hang on. I just published the story.
I saw that guy on campus.
Zadarius Rainey Sale.
No, the one before it was, Kenneth Goodwin.
Oh, Kenneth Goodwin. Yeah.
Damn that dude. That is a guy who looks like a player. I heard, so he went to UCLA and USC, and I heard that he liked UCLA from what I heard. Felt the vibe.
Positive reviews of the vibe so far.
Yeah, that's a 2026 guy who looks like he can step in right now.
And again, not to do the comparisons, but making a first impression on recruits is important. Because even if your vibe is not as good as other programs, nothing compares to your first. And so, like, 2026ers who are coming on campus, and maybe this is their first time going to a college campus, and then they blow up, they'll have that in the back of their head. Like, oh, I went to UCLA, and that rocked. I loved UCLA. It all matters. All of this matters. All of the, like, the nuts and bolts. And that's another thing I loved. Tie it back to Eric Bieniemy. He was like, yeah, NIL, whatever. Talk to the head coach about that. But the stuff about recruiting is still the stuff about recruiting. You got to have personal relationships. You got to, you got to have relationships with coaches. And you've got to, you know, if you've got your, what did he say? Your personal skills, then you should be good at recruiting.
Wow. Seriously, he said some stuff that would rank at the top for coaches' response. But what he said about recruiting should almost be etched in stone. That should be in a guide, like a guideline on recruiting. It was amazing. And for an NFL guy, When was the last time he was in college?
Like 2012.
Damn, to step in and just say that. Okay. Yeah, we got to stop.
Yeah.
We're too much in love with Eric, and he's going to get creeped out.
Yep. All right. For Tracy Pearson, I'm David Woods, Bruin Report Online. Have a good weekend, everyone. Talk to you next
time. See y'all. Have a good weekend.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game for speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.